Welcome to Focus on Fuels, brought to you by StoneX. Your hosts are Trevor McClanahan, Risk Manager, and Alex Fodes, Director of Market Strategy from the StoneX Energy Desk. Alex and Trevor help fleet managers, fuel buyers, and energy procurement specialists gain control of fuel costs, boost margins, and keep their businesses competitive. Join them for another deep dive into the volatile energy markets.
Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us back on Focus on Fuels. I'm Alex Hodes with my colleague, Trevor McClanahan. How's it going, Trevor?
Been a pretty wild week here.
Yeah.
Yep. It's Friday. Yeah, it's been... Market's been rallying like crazy, and doesn't seem like it. I don't know. It seems to be slowing down a little bit, but we're recording this on Tuesday the 17th. Market's up another $2 today. So on crude. So and then heating oil has been just completely ripping. So diesel prices have been jumping big time too. So up another 7 cents today. Took a little bit of a breather yesterday, but after President Trump warned all Iranian people that are living in Tehran to exit, that spooked the market even more. So, yeah, we've had quite a week.
So, for those of you just joining us in today's market, in recent news, Israel attacked Iranian nuclear facilities, as well as some oil and gas infrastructure as well. Prior to these attacks, it had seemed that Israel was a little bit hesitant to actually make strikes on Iranian territory. So I don't want to say it came out of the blue, because there was a warning on Friday. Was it Friday? Last Friday, that was put out that U.S. officials were being warned to evacuate in certain areas.
Iraq.
So there was warning that a strike was imminent or something was going to go down in the Middle East. But, you know, that's not the first time we've ever seen anything like that. But really, the market was already shifting a little bit higher prior to this. We had found kind of a near-term bottom. The stories were all about U.S. oil production slowing and then OPEC's production increases. And this headline really kind of sparked the market and pushed it above long-term moving averages. So it's really kind of changed the whole shape and dynamics of the market. But what we should try and do here is kind of focus on the actual fundamentals shifting in the market associated with this attack. So with this attack and the potential for additional attacks.
Yeah, and I think we're going to definitely reach out or reach the point where we talk about the fundamentals and like kind of what the infrastructure looks like as far as what Iran's cards are and what they can pull off. First, I think it's good to probably touch on the technicals, though, and just kind of just talk about where the price is right now. So Brent crude's at 76. WTI's right below there at 74, and heating oil is at 246 now. So obviously everything has shifted as far as a technical standpoint. We've moved over all the daily moving averages essentially, and that pretty much happened last Friday on the daily side. So currently we're hovering around the 150-week moving average at 76.31. So if we finish above there on Friday, that could continue to keep a little bit more of a supportive measure on WTI, that is. And, you know, the next leg higher beyond that would be $80. So, you know, we might see some resistance, but that's a $4 gap there, pretty significant. And then as we kind of progress through the month too, the 50-month moving average sits at $79. So if we finish above that, again, we can continue a bullish trend beyond that. All of this, though, is pretty irrelevant. It's going to be mostly based off the fundamentals of the market and what's going to kind of unfold out of this conflict. So let's go ahead and get started on it. What are you seeing, man?
So the potential for additional attacks, one area specifically has been Karg Island, which accounted for nearly 90% of Iranian crude oil exports in 2024. Utilizing their most recent export numbers, that would come out to around 1.5 million barrels per day. So that's quite a substantial amount if that were to be attacked. And crude oil exports from Iran could drop down substantially. And when we plug that into our crude oil model, that accounts for about a $5 premium in the market. So our previous estimates were around $65 per barrel prior to the expansion of these attacks and geopolitical risks in the market. So that would point to closer to a $70 per barrel market price. And so utilizing that as kind of a base to work off of, it seems that we potentially could be a bit overdone, but that's one of those factors that's being priced into the market. The one kind of nuclear option or just extreme option in the market that every time stuff flares up, there's a potential that Iran would close the Strait of Hormuz. That is a vital shipping lane for about 20% of global oil supplies. So that accounts for 20 million barrels per day. So just to put that into perspective, if something like that were to happen, if that were to close, our models are closer to $93 per barrel, and that's on WTI. So that'd be right around that $100 barrel mark almost for Brent. But obviously that's kind of worst case scenario for the market. And there are some kind of reasons to doubt and potential for that to actually be able to be pulled off by Iran, I think. So even in the past, in the 1980s, when tensions were extremely high, there were attacks on tankers in the Persian Gulf, but there was not ever a permanent closure. So, and that's kind of what we're seeing right now is shipping lanes and shipping rates are spiking in the area. The risks are going up. Yesterday or overnight, there was a report that two tankers that were UAE flagged ran into each other. So there have been reports of kind of cyber attacks to knock off some of the GPS systems of some of these ships. So there's kind of new modern ways to disrupt the shipping lane. And that's kind of being trying to be priced in the market as well. But we haven't really seen any slowing of loadings of these major crude oil exporters. So right now we're not really seeing the signs, but obviously that's something that could develop as we progress.
Yeah, another major risk too, I mean, or not major risk, but a risk is Iran at some point getting to like a maybe a desperate measure where they're attacking oil facilities in Saudi Arabia, UAE. We've seen this in 2019, actually. It definitely caused a massive knee-jerk reaction to crude oil. However, it didn't really have long-lasting effects. But that's another big risk that we'll be watching. As far as strategy, though, from Israel's point of view here, I don't think that they'll really affect that Karg Island too much. I think that's something that the Trump administration is telling them to keep their hands off of. Just because of that oil, the spike in oil prices having such a big ripple effect on global economy. So in my opinion, I think that they'll stay away from that. And then the biggest reason why, too, in my opinion, would be the Strait of Hormuz. That would actually increase in risk of Iran trying to shut those down significantly, just because Iran is their current export flows are going through that. So if you knock out their export facility, then they have less reason not to, to try to block that shipping lane. So it kind of creates a leverage scenario where, Iran's going to continue to want to keep that shipping lane open so they can, keep their cash cow moving along.
Yeah, I would think probably a more measured approach in attacking internal fuel depots, which is what we've kind of seen. already. So perhaps internal refineries could be more of targets than something export based,
which have already been attacked.
Yeah. So there have been several of those attacked. And honestly, that kind of mimics what we saw in the Ukraine and Russia conflict. So
yes,
Ukraine didn't really attack export markets. Obviously, there's some geographical differences to where some of the export facilities and of Russia were not as kind of prone as some of their refineries, but Ukrainian drone strikes were more effective at going to kind of internal refining as opposed to anything export based. So you're kind of hampering the internal dynamics of the market while also trying not to spike the market as well. I would say one thing that has kind of been interesting on the oil market's reaction has been you've seen diesel markets spike a lot harder than you have on RBOB gasoline. So I'd say one of the factors is that diesel is also transported through the Strait of Hormuz as well. So there's definitely a risk there of some type of disruption. Like we've kind of agreed is that's probably not likely, but the market's pricing in some, you know, some possibility that this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, a lot of the Middle Eastern grades are kind of that heavier sour grade of crude, and those tend to be more distillate rich grades. So this continued kind of shortage of sour crudes and more ample supply of light crudes available, like light crudes like the US crude, West African crude, there's kind of a divergence here. And this is kind of more bullish on that kind of sour crude grade as
well. Yeah, absolutely. And I think along with that, I mean, and you know this better than me, but global diesel inventories also remain below seasonal norms. Mm-hmm. So they're just more sensitive to any kind of shockwaves
exactly.
that go through the system. So, you know, that's another factor there. And I mean, diesel definitely right now seems to be the major risk factor, and in my opinion, those heavier grades, as you said.
On the refined product side of things, I would say for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
One kind of refined product or NGL, rather, that's been interesting and not really participating in this rally has been propane. So obviously, this is something that's kind of slightly disconnected, and we've spoken at length as to there are some connections, obviously strong connections between crude and propane. But this is kind of coming to the time where we tend to see some seasonal weakness of propane, but it is correlated with crude oil prices. And so you'd think with these recent spikes, we'd see equivalent spikes in propane. But what's kind of your read on that side of the market?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the trend for the last month now has been it's devaluing compared to crude significantly. So that percentage to crude, if you will, has really dropped since the beginning of this month. And I think that's a combination of inventory starting to continue or to finally start to build significantly. We jumped over 10 million barrels in 2 weeks time, which was, you know, major. And we didn't see any builds prior to that. So, you know, looking back at you know, the tariff game and just that whole narrative that was out there on propane about the fact that, you know, the front load countries that were scared of the tariffs coming in place, they were front loading their and now their inventories are full. They might be slowing down those imports. We haven't seen the import data be affected too much yet. So propane production remains robust and domestically. And I think that, you know, hopefully we continue to see these inventory builds because I do think, you know, prices have a little bit more downside, especially if crude decides to weaken out, you know, depending on how this Israel-Iran conflict shakes out. That's the big factor, though, still. I mean, even though it's disconnected, it still is pretty tied to crude. While crude's been jumping up $2-3 a day, propane has just been a little bit more lackluster to do so. So I think that probably continues.
And I think this is important for us to discuss propane at this time of year, because a lot of people are kind of looking to book out propane gallons. So I think a lot of people are just hoping for the dive in propane and have been kind of waiting and waiting
a lot
to
of
see
hand
it.
Sitting. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, this doesn't come at the right time, this attack in Iran.
Yeah, because it looked so great. I mean, everybody that I was talking to that was waiting was like, oh, man, this is shaking out perfect. And then this happens, and that threw a wrench into things. But ultimately, if crude does settle down, I mean, it should fall back in line where we want it to or where we expected it to. It's definitely dependent on that. So I guess that's up for opinion.
Mm-hmm. And not to really diminish this conflict at all, because, you know, we're speaking in terms of the market reaction and market response. So obviously this is, you know, a larger conflict, and it's a terrible thing going on in the Middle East, but it's our job to kind of try and see through the market responses and how this could affect kind of the oil market going forward. And I see, I think, these recent price moves appear to be a little bit overdone. I do think we could see prices kind of retrace back to low 70s in the next few days. So that tends to be what the oil market does. It likes to overshoot, undershoot, and kind of eventually find its steady state, rather. And kind of looking back just a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we look at the EIA and the IEA's forecast for data, and they're still forecasting surpluses in oil markets. Obviously, this came before this conflict kind of expanded, but taking into account kind of the potential disruptions and the potential disruptions ahead from this conflict, I think we can still come to find this kind of elevated price level than where we were at before this escalation. But I think we're just a little bit overdone there.
Yeah. And I mean, prior to this, it was, I mean, we were significantly below what global inventories were suggesting prices should be at. And we flipped that script now. So that's interesting. And, you know, I do think that, like you said, I don't want to overblow this conflict, but, you know, that if they're underwhelm it, you know, by any means, but if that Strait of Hormuz were to even, that's like the big discussion right now in oil, is if that gets knocked out, then, you know, then what happens next for oil? And really that affects probably more UAE and Oman than other countries. We talked about this earlier today, and do you want to discuss kind of what Saudi Arabia's plan was if something were to happen along those lines?
Yeah. So when you talk of like who is going to be most affected with regards to the suppliers, Saudi Arabia actually accounted for 5.5 million barrels per day out of the Strait of Hormuz. So that is around 38% of all flows in 2024. So they are a big player in this region, obviously, and they are prone to any disruptions here. However, in the background, they essentially have built the east to west pipeline to circumvent this in the case of any escalation. So this is not new to the region for it to be threatened to be closed. So they have done their best to build a pipeline which has actually 5 million barrels of capacity from east to west. So it would account for almost all of the 5.5 million barrels that go through that strait. And in 2019, they were able to expand that capacity to 7 million barrels per day. So in the instance that there were a large shutdown of this area, then I think, you know, we're stating that 20 million barrels per day went through the Strait of Hormuz. But it would be probably closer to 15 million barrels per day eventually, because Saudi Arabia would be able to circumvent this. But
yeah,
that's still,
UAE and Oman would be the big ones.
Yeah,
right?
They would be the ones that I think
they don't have any scenic routes.
There's really no alternative routes for them. So
which accounts for just above 4 million barrels a day.
Yeah, so it's not nothing for sure. I mean, there's a substantial amount of supplies still at risk.
And then also on top of that, I just want to make sure we're covering all our bases here. You know, the Houthis, they would probably, and Iran would probably turn to the Houthis at that point if they were to divert those barrels going to the Red Sea instead. Houthis could, you know, start
disrupt
to do
some of that.
Mm-hmm, yeah, absolutely. And that would be the next option for Iran. I don't know how strong the Houthis, they always seem to kind of surprise us on how impactful they can be. Mm-hmm. Along with, you know, so in general, I think that those are all risk. And I think the majority, or more than anything, though, if you Iran came to that to that point, they would probably start trying to hit oil facilities or even maybe that pipeline that is feeding that east to west, those barrels going that way. So,
And that actually is, I mean, the refining district or refining area is the Abqaiq facility, which was attacked in 2019. So it's not, you know, totally impenetrable. Yeah, it's not totally impenetrable. There's a history of it being attacked. Obviously, tensions were a little different there because the Yemeni civil war was going on at the time. So Saudi Arabia and Iran's hostilities were extremely high at that time as well. So it's more, though, I think what you bring up, and with good point, is that this just opens the possibilities to a lot of supply disruptions. And I think, you know, if any of this were to be affected, it would be these producers and kind of some of the Western powers, obviously, would take part in this or try and help kind of mitigate this as much as they possibly can, because it's a supply risk to everybody.
Yeah.
$100 oil is something that is, you know, going to have an effect. Yeah, it's going to have an effect on the economy. So,
yeah, I think a lot of the world would turn their back on Iran pretty quickly too. So, I mean, and again, we're just throwing scenarios out here, but I don't know. To me, it would be probably a temporary spike. I think things would probably cool off pretty quickly, but at the same time, that's totally unknown. And you know, the risk is there, and that's what the market is reflecting, is just a premium. Because you already said, you know, even if some of these the Iranian barrels were affected, let's say, that doesn't really bring crude up to where it is now. You know, that brings it closer to like $70 a barrel. So we're overvalued just from that perspective. And I think that, you know, outside of that, we would think it'd be more of a regional conflict situation, which I just don't know that Iran has the cards right now. And that's just something that we'd have to kind of see unfold.
And I think, honestly, and I don't want to say, you know, we were right about something of like, you know, we're not trying to toot our own horn, but I think how we are trying to assess the market prior to these attacks, we did not by any means predict that something like this was going to happen. But I think where we had come to agreement was that we had reached kind of a lower point, even with us forecasting a looser market. It had looked like inventories with regards to where prices were, that those models were saying we are vastly undervalued. The potential risk to the downside versus the upside. I believe we explicitly stated that there were more risks to the upside than downside in that term, but we hadn't seen really a catalyst to kind of spike us above there. Well, here's the catalyst. Yeah. This is, you know, where we were at $55 per barrel. Like, oil production in the U.S. was supposed to be kind of the put on the market.
That's so. The last everything that we've talked about in the last couple episodes have been just around that conversation, right? So it'll be kind of interesting to see if U.S. producers come in and start trying to hedge at these levels.
I think one, and that's another point that's kind of interesting, is the structure of the market. So for U.S. oil producers to be able to hedge, you know, they want that elevated curve, but we're still seeing quite a bit of backwardation, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's a lot to unfold here. The U.S. producers in the short term, at least, they've been thrown a bone here. So, you know, it seems like that's, I don't know how long that lasts for them, but that probably will be our, or that could be our conversation next time we talk, who knows.
Mm-hmm. And I think, so our models were suggesting kind of the drop is going to be seen in more of the April and May data is where mm-hmm. we're going to see kind of that pullback of crude oil production. And then obviously it's responsive, like crude oil production is responsive. So I think those demand those supply adjustments will be kind of to the upside ahead. So, you know, that's been kind of a great dampener in times of where there's some supply risk globally. Obviously, we've talked about how there's not as much to squeeze out of the U.S., but if the dollars are there, they're going to try and do their best to kind of make hay when that pricing is fair. But whether we're going to get, I doubt we're going to get to the massive amounts of production growth we'd seen in the past. But
yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's pretty much all we have today for that topic. We'll continue to try to update people through our market intelligence packages. And then we'll be back on here in 2 weeks or so. Try to make this as much as repetitive as possible. But we also, Alex has been doing a YouTube channel. It's on the StoneX YouTube channel. So check that out if you're interested. Have a few other people on there that are analysts and within our company that have done really good updates on this topic as well, and other spaces and other commodities as well. So be sure to check that out and let us know if you guys have questions, or reach out to us if you are interested in any kind of hedging services.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to the Focus on Fuels podcast with Trevor McClanahan and Alex Hose, brought to you by StoneX, NASDAQ ticker SNEX, a global Fortune 100 financial services company with a century of commodities risk management experience. Subscribe to Focus on Fuels on your preferred podcasting platform for insights on managing fuel and energy price volatility, and to sign up for the free StoneX Morning Energy Brief newsletter. Email focusonfuels@stonex.com or visit www.stonex.com. Please feel free to rate, review, and share this episode with colleagues. Until next time.